Pastor David, thank the officer for letting me borrow his bulletproof vest. Every time I put that on, I feel like I look like the Hulk. Yeah, I feel like, let me just share something while everybody else is coming in really quick. In this little book here, there's one scripture in here. This is under boldly proclaiming faith confession. It's on page 18. This one scripture says, the spirit of truth lives in me and guides me. Therefore, I have wisdom in every situation I encounter today. And for such a time that we're living in, you need to know the wisdom of God. And as I said, I'm a chaplain with the police department. This is my bulletproof vest. This is me with my uniform on. But one day I was with a police officer who happened to be a Christian young man. And so I was able to share a lot with him about being led by the Holy Spirit, because I told him, you've got inside information that you didn't learn at the police academy. And so every time I get ready to go with the police department, I always make sure I read that scripture, that the spirit of truth lives in me and guides me. Therefore, I have wisdom in every situation I encounter today, because I ride in the police cars with the officers. I go on their police calls. I mean, you know, we got the sirens going. I mean, I've been through it all. But I was with Tony this particular day and teaching him about how to listen to the Holy Spirit. But, you know, we don't learn overnight, do we? It's progressive. And so he was asking me about going to Bible school, because he was a really strong believer. And I said, well, you just graduated from the police academy. Your wife just had your first baby. Maybe it would be better for you, rather than just to pack away and go to Tulsa like I did to go to Rhema, you can do some correspondence course. And he said, oh, I didn't know about that. I said, oh, yeah, I'll give you some information about going to Bible school online. And I said, I'll bring it out to you. And he said, oh, that would be great. So the next morning, I thought, well, I'll take this information to Tony and give it to him for a correspondence course. But the Holy Spirit told me that morning, now, don't go today. Now, see, this is a good thing that I'm going to do, right? Good thing, going to give him some Bible school information. But if the Holy Spirit says no, then you don't do it. It isn't because it was bad information. It could have just been not the right day, or you don't know. Don't ever argue with the Lord. Don't let logic and reasoning get in the way. You'll miss the plan of God every time if you do that. And I thought, okay, I won't give it to him. I'll give it to him maybe next week or next time I see him. And then at about 3 o'clock, I was working in my office, and I thought, oh my goodness, it's 3 o'clock. I got to get dressed and get to the police department. And the Holy Spirit said, remember. I love that scripture that says he will put you in remembrance. He says, remember. Don't go today. And I said, oh, that's right, I won't go today. That was at 3 o'clock. At about 5 minutes after 5 o'clock, he was shot and murdered. My heart just sunk. And I would have been in the car with him. The sergeant called me into the office. He said, Marilyn, that was our first murder in 100 years. He said, I need to know how you would have handled that. I was only with the police department like 2 months. I'm brand new. I've been with them now for 21 years, just as a volunteer. And he said, I need to know how you would have handled that situation. I said, well, I'm not allowed to use a gun, so I would have first called for backup. I get on the phone and call for backup, and he said, yes. Second, what would you do? I said, well, I would drop to the floor of the car, because get out of range. And he said, well, in that case, and I already knew what he was going to say, the car would have been your coffin. Because after that man killed Tony, he got in and stole the police car. There's a loaded rifle in the car. He was a murderer. He had just gotten out of prison for murder. Now he's just killed somebody. Only the Holy Spirit knew. We don't judge Tony. You don't learn that fast. I'm sure the Lord must have said something. But I learned to listen to the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth said, don't go today. See, it can save your life. The Lord might say, don't go to the mall this morning. Don't be at that grocery store. Don't go to that concert. You might have had a ticket for a month. Maybe you paid $100 for that seat. If he says don't go, then you don't go. It's just that simple. It's that simple. So moving on, I want to give you some illustrations, and I'm going to call some helpers. I'm going to call Frank. I'm going to let you help me. Greg, I'm going to have you help me. Jerry, I'll have you be one of my helpers. You guys like to have fun in church? Come up here. By the way, this book is my three miracles. This book talks about all three of my miracles. It's the journey, because there's always a journey. And this little book is one of my newest books, and it has three. It talks about faith, the three methods of operation. The first method is receiving faith. When you got born again, that's receiving faith. But you'll be amazed how many things that you receive by just believe and receive. But then there's aggressive faith. There's times where your faith has to be very aggressive to take back what the devil stole. And then defensive faith. You need to defend so the devil can't steal something. And then there's spiritual vision. I don't have time to go into that, but spiritual vision, he can show you what's going to happen before it happens, and you can nip it in the bud. And then faith only works by love. So just mention a couple of those things. I'm going to have you, all three of you, stand. Well, you can stand right here. This is okay. I want you to face them. No, face that way. Get across from each other. Okay. You like to have fun in church, right? For sure. Now, we're going to have some illustrations. And the Lord gave me these illustrations when I was having that experience with the Lord. You hold this part, and you hold the second part, and you hold this part. Hold up real high so everybody can see. Don't they look nice? Now, because of you volunteering to do this, I'm going to promote you later for holding these. I just want you to know. So when I had this out-of-the-body experience, the Lord showed me spirit, soul, and body. Never had ever been taught that. But I realized that my spirit is the real me. That's the part that worships the Lord. This is the part that gets born again. The minute you ask Jesus into your heart, your spirit now becomes alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest miracle you'll ever have. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your freedom of choice. This is the part that must be renewed to the Word of God every day. That's not an option. It has to be renewed every day. And I have these two connected because whether you make your bed in heaven or hell, those two will always be together. You will know exactly where you are. So that's why these two are together. And these two live in a body. That's not the real you. That's just a body. That's just the house that you live in. Now, not every person will have an out-of-the-body experience, but every one of you live in a house. It could be a single-story house, could be a two-story house, but you're not in that house right now. So you are having an out-of-the-house experience. Therefore, you don't know what's happening in your house. You don't know if the cat just jumped on the table. Maybe the light bulb just went out. You don't know that. Maybe someone's knocking at the door. But you're not in that house, so you do not know what is happening in your house. Now, when you go home today and you stand in your driveway, but God forbid if your house was on fire, you would witness the destruction of your house. But you wouldn't be burned because you're not in the house. However, if it's 2:00 in the morning and you're asleep and you wake up, ooh, it's hot in the house, and you begin to smell smoke, and you opened up the bedroom door and you find that your house is a blaze of fire, you will feel the effects of that fire. Why? You're in the house. Is that correct? You, spirit man, you live in this house 24/7. So every time something happens to this house, guess who knows it? You do, because you're in the house. Now, just like this house has an exterior, it has a roof, door, windows, it also has an interior. Electrical wiring, furniture, plumbing, all makes up the inside of the house. This house has an exterior. Hair, nose, eyes, mouth, all kinds of things make up the outside of this house. This house also has an inside. Heart, liver, kidney, spleen, all kinds of organs make up the inside of this house. But that is only a house where you live in. You live in this house and you live in this house. Every time this house, if it's burning up with a fever, you will know it. If it has a horrible disease, you're a lot of pain, could be cancer, COVID, anything, you're going to know it because you are in this house. And as long as you are on this earth, you're going to be in this house. That's why your mind must be renewed to the Word of God, that you are a spirit being, that this is the real you. This is the part that worships God. You have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But this is you. That is not you. You know, I used to think, well, what you see is me, till I learned about spirit, soul, and body. But that's how we think. But that's why you have to have the mind renewed. That is not you. You might be in pain, but it is not you. So are we on the same page? Because it's going to help you so much to understand that you are a spirit being. Amen. I'm going to promote you a little bit later. But we had to do this first, guys. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Great job. Great job. So I want to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. In other words, you're not walking according to this. You're not walking according to that. But you're walking according to the Spirit, the real you. Now I want to drop down to same chapter. I want to drop down to verse 6. Those who live according to the flesh, in other words, they're always living by the outside or the inside of their body. Those who live according to the flesh, they set their desires on the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, according to the Spirit, they have their minds set. You could say they have their minds controlled, ruled, governed by the Spirit. Your mind must be governed by the Spirit. If your mind is governed by the Spirit, it is life. If it's governed by the flesh, which is facts, it says it leads to death. And that's not talking about physical death. It's talking about living a defeated life. You can be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues 10 times a day, and live a defeated life. Saved, filled, and defeated. We're supposed to be saved, filled, and triumphant. And the only way you're going to be triumphant is living according to the Spirit. So verse 6, the mind governed, or again controlled by the Spirit, is life, peace, healing, wholeness, victory, the abundant life. When you live according to the Spirit, you live the abundant life. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Can you see how important it is that you live according to the Spirit? That's the victorious life. You live according to the flesh, the facts, you will always live a defeated life. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13, a very important scripture, it says, take firm hold of instructions. Do not let go, but keep her. Why? Because she is your life. It's important to follow instructions. You might get, maybe you buy a new computer or a new laptop. You got to follow the instructions to put things together. You can't go from step one, step two, and then go clear over to step five. No, you got to have 3, 4. You have to have all the instructions. God has given us instructions in His Word, especially for healing. Now, that's verse 14. Let's look at verse 20. Now, He's going to give us specific instructions. And His instructions, they are truth. They are the truth. It says, beginning in chapter 4, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. These are part of the instructions. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the middle of your heart. These are instructions. Take hold of instructions. Now, I have here what resembles a little medicine bottle. I put a little label on there. It says, take one tablet 3 times a day. Now, you might get a medication, and it might have that same kind of instruction. Take one tablet 3 times a day. And you think, oh, well, I don't want to have to remember it 3 times a day. I'll just take all 3 of them at breakfast time. Well, you change the instructions. See, if you change instructions, they're probably not going to work for you. Or you might think, well, this was really expensive. I understand medication is really expensive these days. You might think, this is so expensive. I'll take it 1-3 times a day, but I'll do it every other day. That way I only have to buy it every other month. Well, you change the instructions. Guess what's not going to work? Or you might think, the doctor said this is really going to help me. I know it's going to work. I think I'll just take the whole thing at once and be done with it. Well, you'll be done all right. See, you cannot change the instructions to fit your convenience. God says, you take hold of my instructions because my instructions are life. So let's look at those instructions again. Give attention to my words. That means pay very close attention. I can remember when I was in grade school, growing up in Nebraska, and sometimes the teacher on a warm day, she'd open up the window. Well, there might be another classroom having their turn to be on the playground, or maybe it was the band outside practicing. And as soon as she opened the window, oh, we all turned, listened, you know, and she'd say, class, pay attention, pay attention. Anybody remember those days? Pay attention, because she knew if you don't pay attention, you're not going to get what she's telling you, and you're going to miss out on something. Well, Jesus is saying, pay attention. In other words, don't get distracted with the symptoms. Don't get distracted with the negative reports that keep flooding in, because those distractions are going to be there. The noise is going to be out there on the playground. Don't listen to it. I'm not talking against doctors, but Jesus is the healer. Doctors treat, Jesus heals. Amen. They even say doctors practice medicine. Jesus doesn't practice. Right. He is the healer. He's not practicing anything. Again, not talking against doctors. You understand. But you got to follow the instructions. Don't listen. Don't get in fear. Fear is the enemy of your faith. Don't get into fear when those negative reports keep coming in. Don't lose sight of his instructions. You could say his instructions are, his word is his report. You're going to get 2 reports. You're going to get the doctor's report. You're going to get God's report. He says, he's not telling you to ignore the doctor's report, but he says, I want you to focus on my report, because my report will change that report. All things are subject to change. Facts are real. We're not denying them. They're real. But truth has the power to supersede, to change the facts through our trust in the word and applying the word. Then he goes on to say, incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, incline your ear to my report, my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart. So we see here the ear gates involved. The mouth gate is involved, or you can't hear something. The ear gate, the mouth gate, the eye gate, are all involved in the instructions, and when you follow the instructions, it will get into your spirit. Now, how many of you remember when you were in grade school and you had flashcards? You didn't know I was going to ask you this. What's the answer? 11 times 3. Good job. 6 times 8. 9 times 9. See, you didn't know I was going to ask you that. Look how fast you knew those answers. Do you know that when you learned your multiplication tables, you did it according to biblical principles? You used your eye gate, your mouth gate, your ear gate, and it became a part of you. That's why you knew them so quickly. When I was in junior high, the teacher said, "Now, boys and girls, we're going to have a test tomorrow, and you need to know all the parts of the human body." And he brought in a live skeleton. I thought, I want to get 100 on that test. So I started studying right away. And our exam was going to be on Friday. On Wednesday, he says, "Oh, has everybody been studying? Who's been studying?" Well, I raised my hand. He says, "Okay, Marilyn, come up here. Just tell us all that you know." He handed me the pointer. I started with the skull. I named every part on that skeleton. He said, "Well, you just got your 100 today. You don't even have to take the test on Friday." He said, "You have really studied. But if I were to do that today and you brought in a skeleton, I know I could start at the skull. But I know there's a couple of them I would get out of order. You know why? I memorized them." Memorization is here. Meditation is here. That's what you did with this. That's why it's second nature to you. That's why God's instructions are the same. The eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate. And do you know where most people miss it? There's one part of those instructions people miss it. The eye gate. The eye gate. They've memorized it. "Well, I don't need to look at it. I know it. By his stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I will live and not die." So they got the mouth gate, the ear gate. What about the eye gate? They didn't do that. You missed an instruction. This, if you were to accumulate every book in the entire world, you would only find one book in the whole world that has been breathed with the breath of God. This is the only book that has life to it. And so God said, "I want you to keep it before your eyes." Because you can read something 1,000 times and then one day you think, "I never saw it like that before." It just jumped off the pages at you. Why? Because it's alive. Just quoting it is not the same. Now, you can't carry this around with you all the time. But you can meditate on it. I mean, I had that little, the reason I had this with me this morning is because just recently I was on another airplane. Those seats are so close together. It is so uncomfortable. And I fell asleep. When I woke up, I realized I was sitting crooked. Now I have this little sciatic thing. Do you know what? I do exactly the instructions. I keep this in my pocket. And so I know the healing scriptures I'm using. My health is restored speedily. I do that little prayer. Like there, spirit of sciatica, I pull you down from your position of authority. I'm a doer of the word. I don't just teach this, I do this. My health is restored speedily. No weapon formed against me will prosper. He was wounded for my transgressions. I do this. I keep it in my pocket. That's why I happen to have it with me today. And I do it 3 or 4 times a day because I need this to come speedily. It's hurting me, so. Nobody's exempt from having something attacking them. Right. We all have to do it. Just because I stand here doesn't mean I don't have to do it. We all have to do it, but you got to follow the instructions. If you think about someone, maybe he's stationed in Afghanistan or something, and he gets a letter from home, and he reads that letter from his wife. "Honey, I love you. I miss you so much. The kids miss you. Daddy wants to know, or Denny wants to know, when is Daddy coming home to play catch? Sally's colored lots of pictures for you. Please be careful, honey. The church is praying for you. We love you. We miss you." Do you think he reads that one time and throws it away? No. He carefully folds it up and he puts it in his pocket. The next free moment, he takes it out. "Honey, we miss you. We love you." Oh, he can maybe even smell her hand lotion. Pretty soon he's got it memorized. Do you think he's just going to sit under the tree and think about it? No. It was a love letter. This is a love letter from Genesis to Revelations. God says, keep it before your eyes. It matters to God that we follow the instructions, that we honor him, that we honor the word. You want the word to work? Then work the word. Follow the instructions. And then he says, for my words, they're life. They're life to those that find them, that obey them. And it's health. The original translation says it's medicine to all your flesh. And then verse 23, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What do you need to guard your heart against? Number one, the facts. They're real, but you don't focus on the facts. You focus on truth. Guard your heart against the facts. And number one, do not, listen to me carefully, do not go to Mr. Google. He is not your healer. All he can do is give you, and I am so serious with this, all he can do is give you facts, and facts breed fear. And fear contaminates. It weakens your faith. So don't do something, when you have to live by faith, whatever you do, don't do something that's going to weaken your faith. Mr. Google got his information from mankind. God didn't give that to Mr. Google. It's all facts. Facts breed fear. Don't go to the library and research something. Research what I told you, Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripe, one stripe, that's what you focus on. It cost him his life. It cost him his life. I had a friend tell me the other day, she said, I just don't know if God really loves me. I said, do you know how that hurts his feelings the moment you would say something like that? She said, oh, I never thought about that. Yeah, you just said you're not even sure if God loves you. And he sent his only begotten son. She said, oh, gosh, I never thought about it. Yeah, think about it. Think about who you're talking about. Your Savior, the author, the finisher of your faith, your healer, your deliverer, your standby, your helper. Oh, he's everything. He's everything. Everything. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. So and think about the biblical principles. You learn that. Let the word of God, take it like a biblical principle. Look at it over and over and over and over. I tell people, you got a Apple Watch or something, set your alarm. Take the medicine every hour on the hour. Pull that out of your pocket. Every hour on the hour. You know, a number of years ago, this isn't in my message, but I'll say it. I was in a very abusive marriage. And I had developed strongholds. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, when I was being so abused, I was not taking those negative thoughts captive. I was thinking, okay, now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? You know, and so if you don't take a negative thought captive, guess what? It becomes an imagination. And then the imaginations get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they become a stronghold. Do this with me. Take a real gentle grip on your wrist. Real gentle. Now go like this. Pull it away. Look how easy. Now take a strong grip. Strong. Now try to pull it away. It's a lot harder, isn't it? Because now it's a strong hold. That's what happens if you don't first take the negative thought captive. You've got to take it captive. Set your watch every hour on the hour and take your medicine. I mean, if it's just probably 2 seconds to read one healing scripture, but you're putting it before your eyes. Follow every instruction. It matters to God. that you follow every instruction. So God's word is medicine to our flesh. And God's word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we know that the Holy Spirit, when you come into agreement with the word of God, you're coming into agreement with the Holy Spirit, who lives where? He lives on the inside of us. Well, the Holy Spirit represents the anointing of God. So we could say the anointing of God lives on the inside of us. But more clearly, well, what is the anointing? Power. Yeah. It's the power of God that lives on the inside of us. That power to remove the burden of sickness and destroy the bondage of disease. That's what that power can do. But the power must be activated by the words that we speak. It's just like there's electricity in this room. When someone came in this morning, they turned on the switch. When they leave, someone's going to turn off the switch. But they're not going to call the power company and disconnect the power. We're just not going to use it. It's just not going to be active. People turn off their switch of faith. Don't disconnect it. This is something, you turn it on and you don't turn it off and on. It's on all the time. And you keep it on by reading the word of God, meditating on the word, worshiping the Lord, singing in spirits and psalms and melodies in your heart. At home, I keep my worship tape on. Just listen, it's all day long. It's just on in the atmosphere. But the power is not automatically activated. You need to use an activator, which is the words that you speak. Let me give you another illustration. Greg, can you bring a chair over to me? I know you're busy writing. Can you just bring up a chair? Now, I want everybody to watch Greg as he's bringing up this chair. Power man. Bring it right here. Can everybody see Greg doing this? You don't know how it's going to... I'll have to give you a paycheck for all the work you're doing today. Did he carry that chair with his nose? Feet? His hands? You know, the Bible tells you, if you want to turn, you don't have to, but in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the Hebrew language... The Hebrew language is very graphic. It pictures your tongue just like a hand. His hand picked up that chair and brought it all the way over here. Now, Greg, take your hand and turn the chair completely the opposite direction. The Bible says in the Hebrew that your tongue is pictured just like a hand, just like his hand picked up this chair and turned it completely around. Your tongue has the power to speak to your situation and turn it completely around. Thank you for that. So you need to know what the word says and speak it and turn your situation around. Isn't that good? You turn it around. Now, we were back in Romans. I wanted to look at Romans again. Boy, this time goes fast. Are we learning anything? Yeah. Okay. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which we know it does, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Now, we know the Holy Trinity represents God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Is that correct? God the Father is in heaven. Is that correct? God the Son, Jesus, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Is that correct? That's two-thirds of the Holy Trinity. That leaves one-third of the Holy Trinity left. The Holy Trinity, one-third, is not in heaven. One-third of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, lives in here, in you. To me, I find that beyond awesome that God imparted one third of himself to live inside of you and me. We are not wimpy people. You know, we hear so much about bombs and all these attacks, and you know, when somebody releases a bomb, let's just say someone releases a bomb at that guitar, it's not just going to destroy that guitar. It's going to rip a hole in the wall, the floor, every other instrument. It's going to destroy everything else around it, because bombs, and we know bombs are very powerful. They're very destructive. But a bomb never has and never will be powerful enough to reach the pit of hell. That is never going to happen. Amen. But the same spirit that did reach the pit of hell and raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and me. We have as much power more power than a bomb. A bomb can't do that. But the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us already reached hell, raised Christ from the dead. We have enough power on the inside of us to speak to a malignant tumor, destroy all those cancer cells, and never harm any healthy tissue around it. Wow. That is what God has imparted to us. The moment we got born again, you got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, even if you weren't even speaking in tongues, because your spirit was translated into the kingdom of the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that just beyond awesome that God put one third of himself to live on the inside of us? And you went, well, does he want me healed? Does he love me? Oh. Yeah, he does. It cost him his life. Cost him his life. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Let me show you something that to me, better watch the clock, that makes simple healing. I mean, to me, God did not intend for faith to be complicated. He did not intend for healing to be complicated. It's not complicated. Before the fall of man, Adam and Eve knew nothing about sickness or disease. After the fall, the human body became subject to sickness and disease. Did not take God by surprise. He knew that they were going to miss it. He knew that was going to happen. And so we know that God made the human body. Who would agree with me on that? Mm-hmm. Who knows would agree with me that this is God's word, God's holy word. When God made the human body before sin ever happened, he already knew the human body would be subject to sickness and disease. So he prepared his medicine ahead of time to heal the body that he made. So the human body made by God will never reject being healed by God's medicine. And God's medicine will never reject healing God's body. They both have an assignment from the throne room to work together. This was designed by God to heal God's body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you are not your own, that you were bought with a price? It belongs to him. He says, so glorify me in your spirit and in your body, which is mine. He wants you healed because he needs you to glorify him. So they both have an assignment. It's just like seeds and soil. God made the seed. God made the soil. Soil will never reject a seed, whether it's a weed or a rose. It just responds to the seed. The soil won't reject the seed, and seed never rejects the soil. That's why you can go up to Colorado, drive around in the Rocky Mountains and see a tree coming out of a rocky mountain. Why? Because some dirt was flying through and it landed on a rock. And then a seed came flying through and landed on the dirt. They connect because they have an assignment from heaven to do that. This body has an assignment from heaven to receive God's medicine, because this medicine has an assignment from heaven to heal this body. They work together. They were designed to do that. Just like if you had a BMW car, it's going to take BMW parts to fix the car. Maybe you got a Mercedes. Maybe you've got a Toyota. You have to use the right parts for that car. This is the right part for the body. This was the medicine to heal this body. Amen. Simple, to me, simple. Simple, simple. Both from God. Both have an assignment from heaven to work together. Do you not, 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you think God wants the third person of the Holy Trinity to live in a crippled, mangled, diseased temple? No. He said, whom you have from God, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. He wants glory, because this is his temple. He doesn't want it mangled up. And he gave us the responsibility. Keep it healthy. Keep it healthy. Take care of it. And eating junk food is a very important part. You have to do the natural part. It's not just taking God's medicine. You need to take care of your body. You have to keep it healthy. You have to exercise. You have to go to the gym or do something at home, but eat healthy. Amen. You know, being born again won't heal your body. Just being born again doesn't heal your body. It belongs to you because it's part of your covenant. Do you know that God heals unsaved people? He wants unsaved people healed. I was preaching, I've been to over 50 countries in the world. I've been on every continent, even the Arctic. I love preaching to the Eskimos. We had a great time, but we had a heat wave of 50 below. But we had a good time. But I was doing a whole week seminar up in the country of Slovakia, and a cousin, this lady called her cousin who was in stage 4 cancer, and she said, you better come to this healing seminar. And he said, well, I don't believe in that. I'm not coming to that. She said, well, if I was in stage 4 cancer, I'd certainly come and just take a chance, you know. No, I'm not coming. Well, he showed up the last day. Now, I didn't know anything about him, didn't even know who it was when he came. But after every message, I usually give an altar call for salvation, and several people came up, but he was not in that call. I mean, he was not born again, but he didn't come up in that line. But then when I had a line to pray for the sick, he came up in that line. But I knew by the Holy Spirit that he wasn't born again. And I said to him, sir, have you ever asked the Lord into your heart? No, I haven't done that, he said. Okay, moving right along. He said, no, I haven't done that. I said, oh, I don't usually get that response. Somebody who voluntarily came in a prayer line. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, would you like to do that today? No, I don't want to do that today. I said, okay, exactly. I said, so what is it that you do want in the prayer line? He said, I just want your God to heal me. And I want your God to take away this pain. And I said, sir, my God loves you so much. He wants you healed, and he will take away your pain. I will pray for you. So I prayed for him. And then the next day I had to fly to Prague. And I called the pastor early. I says, pastor, can you come and pick me up early? I just want to go to that man's house. He is so close to missing heaven. Can we just go to his house that we can pray for him? And he said, yeah, but before you called, his cousin called, and he already called her and said, something happened last night. And he says, I feel so good today. So he was shocked when I knocked on the door. And I said, well, I understand something happened to you. And he said, yeah, I think I'm healed. I'm healed. I said, do you remember what I told you, that my God loves you? And this is what he said. I remember, but now I know. And then he got born again. Because see, it's the goodness of God that brings men into salvation. It's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. So he will heal an unsaved person through grace. Healing is our covenant. But for them, it's grace, because they'll never be able to say, well, I didn't know him. Oh, you knew him all right. And this man got to know him. Yes, now I know. And so now whenever you're praying for people, and one of my books is Guidelines Praying for the Sick. But, you know, when you pray for people, always don't leave a hospital or anybody without giving them a tool. But when you pray for the sick, in this book I talk about the many ways why people don't receive healing. But leave people a tool. But don't, you know, they're not saved. Pray for them. The one thing that I have always said to people, if they don't, you know, don't believe in God, I said, but has anybody ever told you how much God loves you? I used to live in the Swiss Alps doing a pioneer work for the Lord, and one of my Bible school students, she worked at the bakery, and she says, I have to go up to the ski lift. There's a restaurant up there, and I have to take the bakery up there. She says, you want to go with me? I said, sure. So we took the ski lift up to the restaurant, and she introduced me to the owner, and she said, this is a missionary from America. And he said, a missionary? What are you doing over here in Switzerland? Don't you know you ought to be in Africa? And well, I have been there to Africa. He said, you ought to be in Africa. I said, oh. I said, I looked at him in a very soft voice. I said, well, tell me, when was the last time somebody told you that God loved you? He absolutely melted. He said, oh. Well, nobody ever told me that God loved me. And I said, that's why I'm here. He treated me like a queen ever since. Just tell him, some people don't know that God loves them. God loves them. Well, it's time for another 10-minute break. Is this helping you so far?
Yes.
Okay. We'll come back. Got more. Okay, 10-minute break.